own husbands. And if you remember, the Bible commands us to do that in certain ways. Wives, it says, submit as unto the Lord. And so you're to submit unto your husbands with the right attitude, with the right spirit, as you would submit unto the Lord. And then it says, submit as the Lord. As the Lord was submissive, as He suffered wrongfully, but still He had a meek spirit about Him, responding good for evil, so you should do the same. And then it said, submit to your own husbands, not to other people's husbands, not to your boss. His authority is above your parents, above your employer. In fact, His authority is the highest on earth, not surpassing that of your Lord's. It says, submit in everything. And we looked at that. Even when you do not agree, especially when you do not agree, even when He's wrong, and we know that is true as long as it is fit in the Lord. And I preached an entire message on those words. What does it mean to be as it is fit in the Lord? And I, again, for me, that's one of the best messages ever preached on what it is to have that submissiveness in the home. For a wife is equal with her husband. Let me give you this little test, this litmus test, I guess. If your wife has to ask you, before she does anything, she has to ask you first, I've got something to say to you, shame on you. Shame on you. If your wife cannot do nothing without asking her husband first, I'm going to say it again, shame on you. Because that's not a dynamic relationship. She's not your child. You're not her employer. She is your wife. And she's equal in the relationship. She's just as important as you are in the family. She's just as important as being a child of God. But we know in everything there's a need for authority. And so when it comes down to a time when you disagree, when it comes down to a time where there needs to be a submissiveness to authority, He is your authority unless it's not fit in the Lord. You're not to go and do things. Well, if I just do the, He's asked me to stay out of church on Sunday and go fishing with Him. No, not fit in the Lord. Well, He asked me to watch a little pornography. No, it's not fit in the Lord. You understand what I mean? And so you follow the Lord first, always. And so now we're looking, though, we talk about submissiveness. I misspoke. We're really talking about reverence tonight. We left off here, but I want to turn back. And as Brother Bill was speaking to me not too long ago, Ephesians is the sister epistle to the book of Colossians. You'll see they say a lot of the same things. And in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 21, I mentioned this morning, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And that's the very first step as he begins to talk about the family in Ephesians chapter 5, before he goes down to the duties of the wives, which the next verse is, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And we looked at that verse of Scripture, but that passage begins in verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another. That's that equality that is in the marriage relationship. She is your equal. Like I said, if she has to ask you permission. Now, we understand. I mean, it works both ways. I don't ask my permission from my wife to go do something in one sense. But in another sense, I do, because I'm not going to do anything, and I want to make sure she's all right with what I'm doing, right? And so I'm going to submit to her if she says, well, it's not all right. It's my way. I'm the head of the home. Oh, my goodness. We need to understand this principle here. We're equal in our relationship. And so when I want to do something, I always consult my wife, because I want to make sure she knows, one. I want to make sure she understands. I want to make sure she doesn't have anything wrong with that, right? Right, men? We're going to consult our wives and make sure that what we're doing is all right with them, because we respect and honor them. We love them. They're the same as us. We're two in one. And it's the same way with the wife. Well, I'm just going to go shopping. I don't care what he says. No! I mean, you don't have to go ask permission. My wife would drive me crazy for sometimes when she would always come to me and ask permission. I said, you don't have to ask permission. Don't ask me permission for all these things. I'm not your boss. That's right. I'm not her boss. I'm her husband. And I do have the responsibility for leadership. And we'll talk about that next week. But when it comes to the submissiveness, let's make sure that we don't take it so far where the relationship is no longer a dynamic relationship, but it's almost like a relationship between a child and their parents. My goodness, how foolish it would be and how unfulfilling it would be, especially for her to have, and for both, really for both. If you don't have that equality with your wife, then you're not enjoying the relationship that God intended you to have, you two being one. So there's this common mutual respect, and I understand that. And you're not just going to go do anything you want to do if you know that he may not be happy with it, if there's something you need to inform him. But listen, my wife, she wanted to go and visit my daughter in Missouri. She doesn't have to come and ask my permission. She doesn't. No, she doesn't have to come ask my permission. But she will come and say, hey, is it all right if I go and visit Elizabeth? You know why she's doing that? She's doing that because she wants to make sure I'm number one and she's number one. She wants to make sure that there's nothing she's missed, that there wasn't something on my calendar, wasn't something I expected. But she is not coming and asking for permission. She's her own person. My goodness. She's equal with me. If I want to go fishing, and I will go tell her, I'd like to go fishing here. Do we got anything planned? No? Yeah, okay, well, great. She doesn't say, let me see. I don't think you ought to go fishing. You go fishing way too much. You know what I mean? She's not trying to be my boss, and I'm not trying to be her boss. We're not one another's bosses. We're a married couple. And so, like I said, I've never preached it in such a way. I've always practiced it as fit is in the Lord. But it's a whole other really dynamic to understand it. And so I understand this, and I want to make sure that we preach it right, because as I said before, many fundamental independent Baptists go a little bit too far when it comes to the leadership in the home. But wives, you are called to do two things specifically, and there'll be a couple others I'll add to this, but two things specifically. You are to submit to your husband as is fit in the Lord. When there's a need to come down to a final decision, he is your authority. And you need to be at peace with that. You're to submit as you would unto the Lord. There are some things that I find in the Word of God that really goes against my flesh. But it's right. It's right. My God said it, and I'm going to submit to it with the right spirit. Okay, Lord, I didn't understand that. That's really not what I was... But I see it, and yes, I understand. I'm following you. I'm following you. And you're to follow your husband as it is fit in the Lord. And then secondly, we see here in verse 33 of Ephesians chapter 5, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, speaking of the husband and his duty to his wife. We'll speak about that later. But that last part of that verse says, and the wife see that she, you see that next verse, reverence her husband. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Wives are commanded to reverence their husband. That means honor. You're to honor your husband. In Proverbs 31, verse number 11, well, let me read it to you. Proverbs chapter 31. Let me go back here. Proverbs chapter 31, in verse number 11, talking about the virtuous woman. Well, beginning in verse number 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? And so they're very rare. But the Bible says, for her price is far above rubies. And certainly it is. Young men, listen to me. To have a good godly wife is way more than all the wealth of the world. You remember that. Why? Or women, the same way, to have a good godly man is worth more than anything an ungodly man will ever provide for you. Amen. That's true. I promise you, it's not even close. And so her price is far above rubies. And it says this in verse number 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. His heart safely trusts in his wife. And that's the way that it ought to be. Your husband ought to be able to trust you with the money. He ought to be able to trust you with the finances. He ought to be able to trust you with the care of the home. He ought to be able to trust you with taking care of his needs, the children's needs. And this is extremely important when it comes to honor. He needs to know that he can trust you not to talk evil of him. Did you hear that? That's extremely important to a man. Women, you may not get this, and that's okay. You don't have to understand it completely, but I'm telling you the truth. It comes from the Word of God, and as a man, I can attest that it's true. You know what I need more than love? I need honor. I need respect. Men need to be respected. And great damage is caused to a family when a wife will expose her husband's failures and faults to anyone. To their children? Oh, please don't do that. Please don't. You know your husband more than anyone. And you know this, he's not perfect. Oh my goodness, he's not even close. But do not expose his faults to your children, to your family. Don't expose your faults to your best. You get around your best friends. You say, you won't believe what my husband did again. No, sir. You don't expose those faults to anyone. If anyone hears you talk negative about your husband, that's really a shame to the wife. And some women really do. And I've seen this, and it's not too uncommon. They make themselves out to be almost a martyr in the marriage. You can't believe my husband, but what I got to put up with. And they make themselves out to be a martyr. And when that happens, when women continually tell of their discontentment with their marriage, he is going to feel like he is a failure, like you think he is worthless. And the moment that he cannot trust you in that area, he'll try one or two things. He'll either try to control you, or he'll simply give up. And that's the type of husband you'll have. Now, he should be more spiritual, but I'm telling you just what's going to happen. In many cases, he'll try to control you, or he's just going to simply give up. Husbands must have reverence. They must have respect. Man can go without love for a while, but not respect. I don't want flowers. I want respect. And listen, he doesn't have to earn it. You promised it to him when you got married. Now, he should earn it. It should be. And, you know, I don't want to take that too far, but you understand what I'm talking about. You promised to honor and obey. You promised to honor him when you married him. And that's why it's so important, young women, to be careful who you marry. Second most important decision you ever make in your life, so you'll marry. You want to make sure that you marry right. Trust me. Everyone's testimony in this room, no matter if they've been married more than once or not, is still the same. You want to make sure that you're married right. That's not to say that God can't take your marriage and make it something beautiful. He can. When two people are serving God, He will. But it's so much easier to start off right. You'll avoid so much heartache in your life if you start out right. But for a man to have to go outside of his home to find honor and respect really speaks poorly of his wife. And great problems will soon come. Because you'll beat him down. You'll wear him out. And eventually, he's going to just give up, or he's going to try to control you. Honor him. Believe in him. Encourage him. Praise him. Never let anyone be a bigger cheerleader for your husband than you. My wife sometimes embarrasses me in how she describes me in every area. I said, it's just not true. Come on. That's pouring on a little heavy. But she's my biggest cheerleader. And that's the way that it should be. Now, here's something else, women, that's so very important. I teach this here for everyone that goes through the program. This is one of the very first things that I teach, because so often addicts have trouble in their marriages. And we have to fix that. We have to understand. You say, can you fix that? No, but God can. And I can tell them what God says so that they can fix their marriage, anybody. And so I preach this so very often. I teach this because it's so very important. Here's something. When it comes to honor, this will be included. You're not to be contentious with him. Do not challenge him, especially in front of other people. If you have a disagreement about the kids, just let him leave. Even if it's a little wrong, that's okay. I'm going to tell you something very important. Do not challenge him in front of other people. Around friends, and you're visiting your mother, and you make some comment. He makes a comment, and you say, oh, there he goes again. And you act as if he's stupid. Now listen, we know he's stupid, but you don't let others know. They don't need to know that. Don't tell them. It'll destroy your marriage if you keep challenging his decisions in front of other people. Did you hear that, women? That's very important to us men. If you keep challenging his decisions in front of other people, here's what will happen. And this is biblical, Proverbs chapter 12. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 12. Here's a powerful verse of Scripture concerning this. Proverbs chapter 12, speaking about a virtuous woman again. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Oh my goodness, yes she is. But she that maketh ashamed, that will shame him, look what it says. Do you believe the word of God? It's true. Is a rottenness in his bones. You become like a rottenness in his bones. Like a cancer, like a disease. You say it affects men that way? Yeah. We're very shallow people. We're not very deep. I was telling some of our kids, I mean, men are not hard to figure out. They're just not very deep. And so this is something extremely important. And so be very careful. It's rottenness in his bones. Do not, you heard of this word, it's an old word. Old English word. Nag. You ever heard of that? Nag. Don't nag him. You know, nagging never works, by the way, women. Nagging your man never works. It just drives him farther away. Now, discussion, that's important. I'm talking about nagging. You know what it is to nag. It will never cause him to do what's right. Now, we're coming to some of my favorite verses of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs, I've got them marked in my Bible. They're highlighted, circled, exclamation points, asterisks by them. Proverbs chapter 21, in verse number 9. Here's a truth from the Word of God. Speaking about a nagging woman. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. I did not say that. You can't throw tomatoes at me. Women, suck it up, buttercup. That's what the Bible says. In fact, it doesn't say it once. Just go over to verse number 19 in the same chapter. It's like the Lord has to make an exclamation point. It says it is better to dwell in the wilderness. Now he's going on. Not only in the corner of a housetop, but it's better for a guy to go out in the cold and in the storm and in the middle of the night and dwell in the wilderness. That's what it says. Than with a contentious and angry woman. I could give illustrations, but I would get in trouble if I did. Chapter 25. Like that wasn't enough. Chapter 25. In verse number 24, look at three times in Scripture. Boy, if it says something once, pay attention. If it says it something twice, you better pay attention. If it says it three times, there's a reason. We struggle in this area. Women, the Bible says it's better to dwell again in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Three different times the Lord says this. There was someone that said, gave this story. There was a man who did not know what true happiness was until he got married. And then it was too late. Boys, be careful who you marry. If they're a nagging teenager, they're nagging you when before you get married, have some second thoughts. I'm just telling you, it might be better just to let that one go. Or wait till they can get over all of that and grow to enough maturity will to become wifey material. And they ought to be wifey material before they get married. But a man would rather be exposed to loneliness, heat, rain, cold, snow, wind, and hell than to be near a woman like that. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 27 in verse number 15. The Bible says this, a continual dropping in a very rainy day. You know what it means? There's a leak in the roof and it's ding, 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 ding. You're trying to get some sleep. Ding, ding, ding. And it just will not stop. Ding, 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 ding. Driving you crazy. It says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Now you can connect the dots. It's what the Bible said. Joe, what's so funny about that? I mean, the Lord's trying to get something across to us. And so again, Proverbs 19:13, we won't go there, but the same verse, contentious of a wife are a continual dropping. It's repeated twice. Again, that very verse. So women, if you feel like nagging, and you will, because you know it's just part of our human nature, and your husband will give you plenty of opportunity, there's no doubt about that. But when you feel like nagging, just grab that nag before it gets very far and swallow it and praise him instead. You say, how in the world do I do that? Well, it always helps me just to be thankful. Be thankful for something. But find yourself obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is what will build your marriage. I knew a man that I did everything I could to try to help save his marriage, but I just could not do it. And there's a number of reasons, obviously, why that is. There's never one. But I know this, his wife was just constantly on him. You know where he spent most of his time? In his garage. Some men have a men cave. He made a man cave out of his garage. And he just stayed in his garage. Women, if your men are staying somewhere but beside you, you might wonder why. There's more reasons than one. But here the Bible says it's very important for a woman, a wife, to reverence their husband. Now, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse number 34, the Bible says here we find something else as a married woman. There's a difference also between, it says in verse number 34, between a wife and a virgin, someone that's not married. Obviously there is. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord. She doesn't have the responsibilities of a wife, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may, do you see the next three words? Please her husband. I mean, we ought to both be trying to please. This doesn't just go to the woman, obviously. And we'll talk more about the man. Listen to me. The men have two commands that are impossible outside of being led by the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit of God. And we'll get to those. Right now, we'll finish up with the women. But you're to please her husband. So do something that pleases him. Make foods that he likes. Do, you know, if he, the Bible, or not the Bible, but somebody said a man, the way to a man's heart is where? Through his belly. Well, if he likes peach cobbler, make him peach cobbler. I know he likes chips and salsa, and he's a little overweight, and he should eat healthier. But don't go out and buy him some vitamin shakes and six disgusting flavors and say, choke this down, chubby. Don't do that. Do some things that he likes. Make him some things that he likes. Meet his needs. Now listen, I'm going to go through this carefully because I don't like to talk about it. But meet his needs physically by keeping the house and in areas of intimacy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, 4, 5, the wife hath not power over her body. And this is speaking about this area of intimacy. But the husband. And likewise, also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. And so defraud. Don't keep that away from one another. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or your want of self-control. You know what he's saying? Make sure you take care of those needs. Because many good men have fallen because those needs were not being met. And that's all I'm going to say. You're going to embrace that or not? You're going to understand that or not? But what you do will hinder or enhance his ministry. So make sure that you're doing it, obeying, reverencing, pleasing him. You know, I think about Job's wife and all the bad things. And I say this often, especially in my counseling, when I'm counseling people. Job lost everything but his wife. I wonder why. And if you remember, his wife would just say, curse God and die, curse God and die. I mean, I believe that's the reason why Satan left her alone. Took all the kids, took all the animals, took all the money, smote him with boils from his head to his feet, and left his wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 3. This one's a little funner than the men one. 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 1, and we mentioned this before, as I talked about as is fit in the Lord, because I want to make sure we didn't take it too far, but it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, we talked about that, that if any obey not the word, is there any husbands that obey not the word? Yes. They also may, without the word, without the Bible, be won by the conversation of the wives. That word conversation is just meaning her communication, her welfare, her testimony, the testimony of the wife. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Not fear of him, but fear of the Lord. And so there's power in submission. That's what the Lord is teaching women here. Most women desire a good home. and most women can have it. It's within her own power to obtain it if she'll live with godly character before her husband. Because really, a woman does have the power to make the husband a good or a bad head. I said he's very shallow. You can manipulate him easily. And so you have within your power to really, by your godly conversation, to build or destroy him with your ungodly conversation. But nobody can move a man like his wife to cause anger or to cause joy, to make him feel like going on or make him feel like giving up. The contentious words of a woman will excite his anger, or your sweet actions will excite his joy. Your discouraging words will cause him to fail, or your encouraging words will cause him to go on and succeed. Many times a wife can make her husband successful or not. You heard the old adage, behind every good man is what? Is a good woman. Behind every good man is a good woman. Spurgeon said this, one of the greatest preachers of his time, said, I don't know if I could have continued without the support of my wife. And I understand that. A wife that is an encourager and a builder, and not one that argues or disagrees or is contentious, but one that is a builder, will build a man. One that encourages will build him. You'll make it easier for him to lead and make right choices. You'll make it easier for him to do his job. Now, if you do yours, it doesn't excuse him, or if you do not do your role as God has commanded you, it doesn't excuse the man not to do his. That's the first thing I teach over and over again. Listen, no matter what the other one does, don't you base what you do upon the actions of your spouse. You base what you do by what God has called you to. He's first. God is first. You do what God has called you to do and concentrate on yourself and build yourself. And you're going to have to build yourself before you're going to be able to help somebody else. But many times, as it says here, you can win your unsaved husband or your backslidden husband by your godly conversation. You're not going to change your husband by being demanding or aggressive, not trying to persuade him to do right. Say, get off the couch and do something. Be a man. My goodness, just be a man. No, that's not. You'll never win your husband by compromising God's truth as well. You cannot compromise the truth of God. Well, if I just go fishing with him on Sunday. No, you cannot compromise God's word. You win your husband by your godly conversation, by living godly, by following what God has called you to do, and that's to be submissive wherever you can as it is fit in the Lord. Showing him godly compassion and love, being consistent, being reverent towards him, being submissive. And don't just try for one or two weeks and say, well, that didn't work. I mean, be committed to it. As a Christian, we're committed to the Word of God, not for one or two weeks, not for one or two months, not for one or two years. And sometimes it can take some time. But when you're committed to do what God says, period, then the Bible says that here you'll have a great opportunity to change your husband. Not by loving him, though that's important. Not by nagging him, or you're going to change your husband. But through submission and giving him honor. Respecting him. That's what men need. God knows. So wives, you're to submit as unto the Lord with the right spirit, as the Lord, being willing to suffer wrongfully. You know you can't do anything that's not fit in the Lord, but you're just, as he comes home and he's in a bad mood, I mean, you're going to take that. You're going to take that in the name of the Lord, understanding people have a bad day. You're going to do everything you can as it is fit in the Lord, suffering as the Lord, and in all things, doing what's pleasing to him as it is fit in the Lord, reverencing him, not only respecting him if he loves me or does what he needs, no, reverencing him all the time, as much as is possible. I tell two folks that are struggling in their marriage, please let somebody be the most spiritual. If one would break the cycle and just decide to live by the Word of God, it'll probably work out. If both do, it's a no-brainer. It will work out and be a happy, successful marriage when both people are committed to the Word of God, because God knows what we need. He knows what your husband needs. He knows what the wife needs. God knows what we need. And there's nothing better than having a helper who will build you up even when you're wrong, defend you, help you, understanding you are a team. And I'll tell you this, women, submission isn't for cowards. No, not at all. I mean, that takes great courage, great faith to be submissive. It's for those with great courage, great faith, and great love for God. Women of strength, women of godly character. The greatest godly women I know are submissive, godly women. Not submissive where the husbands have them under their thumb. No, sir, you're an equal in your marriage. That is absolutely true. But when it comes down to different times when there needs to be leadership and there needs to be someone that makes a decision, you are to submit to him with reverence. And a woman that submits will soon find freedom, she'll soon find joy and spiritual happiness because God's word works always. And so that is the lesson on the role of a woman in the family.